And we're holding on Ayin Hey Amud Aleph, second line. We said in the Mishnah, Ein Seilin Es HaPesach B'Chol, you're not allowed to, we said you have to roast the Korban Pesach using a wooden spit. We said not a metal spit, because Cham Miktzase Cham Kolay, metal conducts heat, so therefore some of the Korban Pesach ends up getting roasted by the heat of the metal. So the Mishnah had said also, you can't use a metal spit, and also you can't use an askala, which is a grill. But then the Mishnah says that Reb Gamliel had that Reb Tzadik tells us that one time Reb Gamliel said to his servant Tovi, go roast the Korban Pesach for us on a grill. So the Gemara asks, Maisa Lister. So what is the Mishnah? Is the Mishnah giving us a Maisa that contradicts what we just said? The Mishnah doesn't usually do that. When it's bringing a Maisa, it's to support what we just said, not to contradict it. The answer is chsuri mechsuri. The Mishnah is missing a phrase. V'hochi katani. What it means to say is v'im askalam enu keves mutter. If it's a grill that has holes, then it's mutter. And v'omer of tzadik ma'isi b'rim gamliel sh'omer l'tovi abdet seu it's lalano es ha'pesach ala askalam enu keves. So it was a grill that had holes, therefore it's mutter. Now what does it accomplish if it has holes? Rashi describes that when we say it has holes, what we mean is it's a grill, like what we think of as a grill, but the spaces between the bars are very, very wide. So what you actually have is you can hang. Now we said yesterday you put the Korban Pesach on a spit. Now usually what you do is you said we hang the spit in the oven with the Korban Pesach head down and gets roasted that way. Now you have the grill is made in such a way there's such large spaces between the bars of the grill that the whole spit and the whole Korban Pesach will be able to fit between two of those bars. So therefore the meat of the Korban Pesach won't touch any of them at all. So you just have the fire underneath, there's this grill above it, this very widely spaced grill, and then you have the Korban Pesach on top of that, so then there's no problem. The Rambam puts it more like what we're mentioning in the Gemara over here. He just uses the word minukeves without specifying any further that it has holes. So that leads to, you have the Achronim, Tzlach, and the Sfasemis discuss possibilities in it. Does the Rambam mean that if it has holes, then it's fine as long as also the Korban Pesach has to not be touching the metal, like we said yesterday, because then it gets roasted by the heat of the metal. But the point is, the Tzlach says, the reason why it has to have holes, though, is because if it, let's say it doesn't have holes, let's say it's a solid sheet of metal, then it would be possible for a different reason, because then, fine, it's not touching the metal, but the fact is it's not getting roasted by the direct heat of the fire, it's only the heat that goes into the metal, and then the metal, and then the heat is boiling out of the metal to the Korban Pesach, and that would be no good. The Sfasemis, on the other hand, actually learns that I'm on the other way around. He says that actually, if the grill has holes, then even if the Korban Pesach does touch the metal of the grill here and there, then it's not such a problem. Because unlike with the case of a metal spit, the problem is you have the whole part inside the animal gets heated up, because again, cham miktzase cham kolay, it conducts heat, and therefore you have part of it is being cooked but not by the heat of the fire. But here you have the fire is under the grill, is under the grill and under the Korban Pesach. So even if a piece of the Korban Pesach at some point touches the grill, big deal. It's still being roasted by the heat of the fire. It just happened at that point to touch the metal. So therefore he learns that's why it wouldn't be a problem. Okay. Later on, also, we're going to discuss on Amud Beis something that relates to this, which also the Sfasemis brings as a proof that if the fire touches the metal, it's not so bad. Okay. So now Rav Chinina bar Idi asks Rav Ada bar Ava a question which is going to relate back to roasting the Korban Pesach. Tanushi sikoi beklipe orla. If you fired up an oven using peels of fruit of orla, and we know that not only the fruit is osur, we know that not only is the fruit osur bahana, but so are the peels. So now, if you use those to fire up an oven, now we had a machloikas earlier in the second perek, we on daf chavav, we had Rebbe saying that if you bake bread in such an oven, it would be also because it's called yesh shvach etzim bapas, the improvement that's made by the bread by the wood, by the firewood in the bread, is something noticeable, and therefore it's a noticeable hana, and it becomes osur. So now the question is, the gofoy, but here the twist is, you then, after you fired up the oven with these klipei orla and got it hot, the gofoy, then you raked out all of the peels and coals and everything from the oven, but offer by a pass, and then you baked bread in it. So the divrei ha'oyser, so according to Rebbe, who says that if you actually had the klipei orla in there, it would be oser. What about, what would be mahu? What would be the din over here? Would it be mutter since you don't have them in the actual oven anymore? So maybe therefore that would be a valid reason to allow it. Actually, Tosfos discussed.
If the bread's going to be baking, you're obviously having enough from the heat of the arla.
Right, but that's a more indirect thing. In fact, Tosfos actually points out over here. We learned in that sugya over there, we had the case where you waited until it became morning. We talked about in the sugya over there where you have a case. You waited until they became charcoal, and then you baked the bread. Then we said divrei hakol mutter. We discussed over there whether there's two types of coals. There's brightly burning coals and there's dim coals. We're going to talk about that concept in the Gemara over here soon. The point is, in other words, that there we said it's mutter even according to Rebbe. So here you rake them out all together. All you have is the residual heat. Why would we think that it would be any worse? So Tosfos says, actually, in a way, it might be worse, sort of like what you're saying, because here you are benefiting from the heat of the oven, which was there when you had the klipei orla in there. So therefore it would be usher. In that case over there, what you have is, you have coals over there. Well, the coals themselves, once they're charcoal, it's afra ba'alma. It's like dust. Therefore, there's a reason to be matter it. But again, so the question is over here, so would it be mutter when you're just baking it with the residual heat in the oven without any klipei orla over there? Rabbi Hananel actually has a different understanding of the question. He understands the question to be according to the question would be according to the opinion in our sugya over here that was saying that you're not allowed. Now we're saying that we said in the Mishnah that you're not allowed to roast the Korban Pesach over a grill. Then we said Rabbi Gamliel allowed it, and we said that's talking about where it's a grill that has holes. But Rabbi Hananel learns, nevertheless, apparently there's still some opinion that says that even that would be usher. So now the question would be, in the case where you raked out the coals of the klipei orla from the oven, that's in a way similar to that kind of thing of roasting the korban pesach over a grill. So what would be the din in this case? Amalei, instead of Adabar Ava answers, apas muteres, the bread is mutter, even according to the opinions that say that it's also, because there's no shevach eitzim bapas, because again, there's no eitzim there anymore. Amalei, so Rav Chinen of Ba'idi asks, Va'amar Rav Chinen of Sava, Amar Rav Asi, Amar Rav Yechanan. How could that be? Didn't Rav Chinen of Sava, this is a different, obviously, than Rav Chinen of Ba'idi, didn't Rav Chinen of Sava say in the name of Rav Asi and the name of Rav Yechanan, Tanu Shehi Sikoi, if you fired up an oven, now here we're not talking about with Orla anymore, obviously, we're talking about you fired it up with regular firewood, the Gorfoy, and then you raked out all the coals, the tzolabayas of Pesach, and then you roasted the korban Pesach in such an oven with just the heat that's left over there, ein zet sliyesh, then that is not called sliyesh, and therefore you're not makayim the mitzvah of eating the korban Pesach if you eat it, shenemat sliyesh, sliyesh, shtei palmim, because twice the Torah specifies that the korban Pesach has to be roasted. We learned before when we had a sugya at the end of the second parak at Daf Mem Aleph about roasting the Korban Pesach, and we mentioned over there that the word we darshan the fact that it says tzliyesh twice to say that only at the time when you're chayav to eat the Korban Pesach, only then do you have the isurim of eating from it raw or half cooked or cooked, but not otherwise. But it is as though, okay, there were darshaning the fact that it says twice tzli, here we're darshaning the fact that it says twice ish. Anyway, the point is, Rav Chinina asks, time of gali rachmana tzli ish shtepamim. Now the implication is only That the implication is only that because the Torah specifies twice tzli'esh, only then do we say that even with the fire, that once the fire is out of there, then it's not tzli'esh. Hole gali rachmana. So the implication is, if the Torah had not written tzli'esh twice, habamin tzli'esh hu, then you would say that it still is considered tzli'esh. Now, then, so the question is like this: when it comes to using peels of fruit of Orla, which are also Bahana, it never says anything over there about Aish or otherwise. So therefore, we should say that, yes, even with even just the residual heat from them should be considered Aish, and therefore it should be considered Hana, and it would be Osir. I, by the Korban Pesach, the only reason by the Korban Pesach that doesn't work is only because it says Tzli Aish twice. So what are you telling me that it is Mutter even in the case of Orla? Omalei, sort of Adama Ab answers him, okay, Gali Rachmona Hossam V'Yalfin and Mina. Okay, the Torah tells us in that one case about the Korban Pesach, and then we use it as a binyanav for other cases. Once we establish by the Korban Pesach that because it says Tzli Eish twice, then you need actual fire over there, not just the heat in the oven after the coals were removed. And now we can learn from that by a binyanav that the same thing would be true as far as baking with Orla shells. But that's one answer. The Ibois Ema, or he says another possible answer I can give you. Hossam, time of the Chos of Rachmanat Tzliyesh Tepamim, because the difference is like this. When it comes to the Korban Pesach, yes, the only reason we're saying that this doesn't work is because the Torah says Tzliyesh twice. Holoi Chos of Rachmanat Tzliyesh Tepamim. So the implication is that if it hadn't said Tzliyesh twice, have Amina at Eish Kofed Rachmana, then you would say just the opposite. You would say, not the opposite. You would say, the fact is, the Torah wants you to roast the Korban Pesach with fire. And here, after all, you have Afila Gorfei Nami, so even if you waked it out, you could argue it's Tzliyeshu. You could argue it's still roasted by fire. After all, Rashi points out, if you have an oven like that, which is hot enough to roast in, so you fired up the oven with wood, now you took out all the wood and coals and everything, and now you're going to bake with the residual heat of the oven. The fact is, that heat is hot enough that if you, for example, if you put a piece of cloth in there, it will burn up. It will catch fire from the heat in there. So therefore, you could argue without it saying Tzliyesh twice, you could have argued that kind of heat is considered fire. And therefore, the Torah has to repeat the word Tzliyesh to tell us that you need actual fire, not just heat that's hot enough to set something on fire. Aval Hocha, but over here, when it comes to your question about Orla, after all, the Torah is makbid that you shouldn't have wood, or in this case, shells, which are osir, v'halasnu, and the fact is you don't have it there. So therefore, that's a second answer. So again, the first answer is that yes, actually, the same dinim would apply to the Korban Pesach as to Klipe Orla. So in the one case, it's not Tzliyesh, and therefore you have to have the wood in there. In the second case, with Orla, it's not also as long as you don't have the actual shells in there, and they do in fact have the same din. The second answer is that there would be a difference, that by the Korban Pesach, the Torah Taka insists that you have actual Eish, whereas by Orla, well, for a different reason. It comes out the same halacha, but for a different reason. That in the case of the Korban Pesach, the Torah insists that you have to have actual Eish, actual fire, so just the residual heat in the oven is not enough for that. And when it comes to Orla, though, you need the actual wood of Orla to be there, and here it's not anymore, the actual shells of Orla, and here it's not, therefore there's reason to say that it's Mutter. Okay. So that's the Maskana. Next, the Gemara says, Tonen Abanan, we learn in a Braisa, more dinim about roasting the Korban Pesach. Choschoi v'nosnei agabe b'cholim. If you cut the Korban Pesach and put it on the coals. Now, before we were talking about that you're hanging it over the coals. You put it on a spit. You hang it in the oven, as we said yesterday, upside down, so that the head of the animal is down, and then the blood inside can drain out through the neck. But it's above the coals. Here we're talking about you actually placing it directly on the coals. Now, the problem with that is that, first of all, I mean, we discussed yesterday in the Gemara about the halachas of kashrus, about putting meat directly on coals, but there we said the problem was we're talking about meat that has a lot of blood in it. You had a piece of meat that had a collection of blood in it from an injury to the animal. You have beitz zacher, you have the male testicles, same idea, and the jugular veins in the neck. So here we're not talking so much from the point of view of kashrus, because not necessarily are those parts directly on the coals, but the problem is this considered, is this a valid way? Is this considered tzliyesh or not? Now, what do we mean by choscha over here? Rashi explains, it doesn't mean that you broke it up into pieces. It means you made cuts in it in a few places in order that it should roast faster, so that the heat should get into the interior of it faster. Tosfos on the previous daf says that it doesn't have to mean that. So in other words, it comes out, according to Rashi, that if you actually cut up the Korban Pesach and roast it that way, it would be possible. Tosfos disagrees with that, and also the Rambam disagrees with that, and says that no, if you cut it up, then that's not the right way to do it. You should roast it whole, al krov, val kibra, like we said yesterday, but b'diavad, if you cut it up and roast it into separate pieces, then it is kosher. Anyway, the key thing is that you put it directly on the coals over here. So Rebbe Omer, Omer Anish Azet Sliyesh. So Rebbe says that I say that's still considered Sliyesh, so therefore that's valid, and you can be Yotz to the Korban Pesach with that. The Chachamim would disagree. For one thing, they would say, because when you're putting it directly on the coals, then juices from it are going to drip out, juices and blood and whatever are going to drip out onto the coals, and therefore they're going to sort of put out the coals, and therefore it's not really going to be Tzliyesh. It's going to be sort of Mavushal. Okay. But Rebbe holds that it's fine. So the Gemara says, Rami le Rav Chadboi bar Ami le Rav Chista. Now then, Rav Chadboi bar Ami pointed out then a contradiction to Rav Chista. Me Omar Rebbe Gecholim Eshninu. Are you telling me that Rebbe holds that coals are considered actual fire, and therefore here by the Korban Pesach would work? Or Reminu, I have a contradiction. The Pasuk tells us, in Parashas Tazria, talks about the different kinds of tzaras. This is actually the current Shloisha Parakim of Rambam, is Hilchos Tumas Tzaras. The din that we're going to learn here was in yesterday's Rambam. Anyway. Now you have like this. There's two cases. Now you have like this. There's tzaras of normal skin. Then the Torah describes two cases where the skin was injured and then you have tzaras develops on it. One is called shchin. One is called michva. A shchin is basically where the skin was damaged or destroyed by some internal factor. Some factor that doesn't involve external heat. So it can be, for example, it can be a disease. It can be that the person was beaten or banged with something hard or whatever. All of those are called shchin. Then you have michva, where they were burnt by some external source of heat. So we're going to focus on that one. So the Braisa says when the pasuk says michvas esh, when the pasuk says that if there's a burn of fire on a person's skin and then saras develops over there, ainli elosh nichva ba'esh, given that phrase, you would think it means only if he got burnt with actual fire. How do we know nichva b'gachelas? How do we know if he got burnt instead by a hot coal, beremetz, or by hot ashes, besidrei seach, or with hot lime is a material they melt down, they burn limestone and make material of it that they use for mortar, and whatever, at least in those days they used for mortar between bricks and whatever, and it's hot. The gifsis reseach, or if you got burnt with hot gifsis in English is called gypsum. You can see it's a very similar word. What do you call it? Sheetrock. Sheetrock is basically made out of gypsum. They use it for other purposes as well. For example, when a person breaks a bone, they put on a cast. The cast is sometimes made out of gypsum. Whatever. Anyway, it also has to be heated up, so it's also something very hot that a person conceivably could get burnt from. So if a person got burnt with any of those things, v'chol davar habominaur, as well as the braisa continues, anything else that was heated by fire, and the Gemara interjects v'asuye chamehaur, that comes to include if the person was burnt by hot water. So continues the braisa, minayin, how do we know that that also has the din of a michva as far as tzaras? Tamad lema michva, michva riba. Therefore, the Torah tells us twice in that pasuk. It says the word michva, so therefore it includes anything where the person's skin was burnt, whether by fire or whether by anything else that was heated by fire. Tosfos points out actually that, in a way, it shouldn't be that relevant to know whether this is considered michva or not. If it's not considered michva, then fine, you'd consider it shchin. It would still have the same dinim, and it still have the same dinim. Regular tzaras of regular skin, the person can be quarantined for up to 2 weeks before we determine whether he's tamei or tahor for sure. In the case of shchin and michva, it's only 1 week. But the difference is that shchin and michva can't combine. If you have, let's say, a person has on his body a shchin, and next to it he has a michva, and then he has a spot of tzaras, which is half on one and half on the other, It doesn't count as tzaras unless of course each side by itself is large enough to, is the minimum size of a spot of tzaras. A spot of tzaras has minimum size, the size of a gris, officially the size of a certain kind of bean. It's officially the area where 6 by 6 hairs can grow on the body. Anyway, the point is, let's say you have a half a gris on a shrin, half a gris on a michya, they won't combine. That's why it's important to know what's a shrin and what's a michva. Worth mentioning, by the way, an interesting thing in this connection from the Mishnayos in Masechta Negoyim that talk about these dinim. You have a case over there. Somebody asked Rabbi Eliezer a case. Suppose a person has a shrin on the palm of his hand, exactly the size of a gris, and then saras develops on it. What do we do with him? Do we have to quarantine him for a week to see what develops, or can we just say there's no simone tuma in it, and he goes? Because after all, it's on the palm of his hand. Hair won't grow over there. The only thing is if it'll spread, but if it spreads to the rest of the skin on his palm, nothing happens, because only if it spreads to a shrin is it going to be a problem. So Rabbi Eliezer says, I heard from my Rebbeim that you have to quarantine him, but I don't know why. So one of Rabbi Eliezer's Talmidim, Rabbi Huda ben Beseira, I think it is, speaks up and gives an answer. He says, because after all, another shrin might develop next to it, and then the tzaras would have where to spread into. And then Rabbi Eliezer tells him, Chacham Gadol Ata, you're a tremendous Chacham, Shekiyamta Divrei Chachamim, that you found a way to forenfer what I learned from my Rebbeim, that you have to quarantine this guy even though there wasn't an obvious reason why. Just a side thing, I figured it was worth mentioning. Anyway, the point is, getting back to the Gemara, so we're saying, in other words, that because it says Michva twice, then we're saying that if he got burnt by anything hot, and then that's considered a michva, and now if tzaras develops in that area, then it's considered, then it has the dinim of michva. So again, let's figure, the Gemara says, time of the Rabbi Rachmana michva michva. So the implication is only because the Torah repeats twice michva, do we say that it means not just if he was burnt by fire, but if he was burnt by anything else. Holy Rabbi Rachmana michva michva. But apparently, if the Torah had not given us that ribui, then we would say only fire counts as a michva, and we would say gecholim lav eshninu. Then we would say that coals don't count as fire. So what are you telling me that Rebbe says that if you put the Korban Pesach directly on top of the coals, it's considered Sli'esh? If based on this braise, it seems it's not considered Esh, only if you have a special ribui to say that it is. Omalei, so Rav Chista answers, Gachelas shel Eitz leitzarech kra. Actually, no. You're thinking that this pasuk about michva and this braisa are coming to include a coal of wood. No. For that you don't need any ribui. You don't need any ribui for that, because after all, it's a coal of wood. It actually caught on fire at one point and became coal. So therefore, of course you can call it fire. There's no chiddush in that. What the pasuk is telling us, when we have the extra word michva, and we're saying it includes all those other sources of heat, when we say gacheles, what we mean is a hot piece of metal. Now, a hot piece of metal, I mean, it can be red hot, but it never actually caught on fire. So therefore, you would need a ribui to say that nevertheless it's still considered heat, and the burn that a person gets from it is considered a michva. But when it comes to coals made out of wood, then you don't even need a ribui. Automatically, that would be included in the word esh. And therefore, when Rebbe says by the Korban Pesach that if it's roasted directly on the coals, then it's sli'esh. That's why, because we're talking about wood. We're talking about wooden coals over there. We're not talking about over there glowing metal. Okay, so the question is, gecholim shel matches lav eshu. So you're telling me then that hot metal is not considered fire? V'hogabi bas koyin dechtiv ba'eshi sorif. What about by a bas koyin that was mezaneh? The pasuk tells us that she has to be burnt with fire. There's different opinions in the Gemara and Sanhedrin what exactly the scenario is. Are we talking about only when she's a Naira Marasa? Are we talking about in general when she's a married woman? Whatever. The point is, the pasuk says, Ba'esh tisarif, Va'amar Rav Masna, but Rav Masna says, what it actually, the way that they carried out Srefa, Tsila shal Abar Hayu Oisimla. They made a long, thin thing of lead. Psila literally means a wick, because it was long and skinny like a wick. They would heat up the lead until it was red hot, and then they would they'd put it down her, and then they'd pour it down her throat, and it would kill her that way. So you see, in other words, that hot metal is considered Aish. The answer is shiny hasam damakra ba'ish tisoreif. The difference is because there the pasuk says, but it doesn't just say with fire she should die or something like that. It says with fire she should be burnt. So therefore, that includes anything that can be considered burning. Otherwise, Rashi says it could have just said ba'ish. Tosfos says it could have said ba'ish tamus. So therefore, so we can add anything that comes min ha'ish, that comes from fire. So hot lead does work, and it is considered serefa. Okay, the Gemara asks, "V'chol shekein eish atzma." In that case, then we should say that all the more so, fire itself should be valid. In that case, for nakif lo chavla is murders for nikla. In that case, why are we using hot lead? Why aren't we surrounding her with bundles of branches and burning her at the stake? The answer is you can't. That's not what the Torah means by sreifa, because atya sreifa sreifa mibnei Aaron. We learn exeda shava on the word sreifa from what happened to the sons of Aaron, Nadav and Avihu. When they brought esh zora asher lo tziva oisam. So the pasuk is vatetze esh milifnei Hashem, that fire came out from before Hashem and burned them. And what happened over there? So Malahalan sreifas neshama beguf kayim. Now over there, what happened was the fire went inside them and burnt them from the inside. But the guf was still intact. When we say sreifas neshama, we don't mean that their actual neshama was burnt. Their actual neshama, they were for tzaddikim. They made the serious mistake, but they were tzaddikim. They did go to Olam Haba. They did go to Gan Eden. What we mean is, in other words, sreifas neshama means, in other words, the interior of their body was burnt and they died that way, but the outside of their body was still intact. So therefore, we learn at Zeta Shava from that. Afkan, the same thing over here. When it comes to burning the Bastoyan or any other case where a person requires Srefa, then it has to be Srefa's Neshama. With Guf Kayam, it has to be that you burn only the outside of only the inside of the body, and the outside, and the outside stays intact. So that's it. So that's how we know, therefore, that you have to use hot lead. Okay, so the question is, why dafka hot lead then? The nevid lachame ho'ur, why don't we kill her with boiling water? So either that could mean that we pour boiling water down her throat, or it could mean that we immerse her in boiling water, or we spill boiling water on her or whatever, and she dies that way. The answer is Mishum de Rab Nachman. The reason that won't work is because of what Rab Nachman says. The Amr Rab Nachman, Omar Krav, Ve'ahavta L'Reacha Kameicha, means Brer Loi Misa Yafa. When it says Ve'ahavta L'Reacha Kameicha, it means even the person who's being executed, he is Re'echa, he is, after all, your colleague, your fellow Yid, especially because he was Misvade, he said Vidui before, they tell him to say Vidui before he's executed, or she's executed in this case. So he's Re'echa, and therefore you have the mitzvah, V'yahavta L'Reacha Kameicha, choose the easiest possible death for him. So now, using hot water, whether down the throat or whether on the outside of the body, would not be misayafa, because it would be a very long, drawn-out, painful death. There's an interesting idea that Tosfos mentions someplace else. What makes us say that V'yahavta L'Reacha Kameicha applies over here? And an interesting answer is, because throughout your life, can you really always say V'yahavta L'Reacha Kameicha, that you should love another person exactly like yourself? After all, we have a halacha, chayecha koidmin. We have a halacha, let's say, for example, you have only one jug of water between the two of you, and only one of you is going to make it civilization on that water, and if you share it, then neither of you are. Then the halacha is chayecha koidmin. Your life comes first. So like as long as both of you have to, so in normal circumstances, therefore, you can't be fully loving another yid, kamoicha, exactly like yourself. Only here, when they're being executed and their life is going to be ending anyway, then you can do that. You're going to make the easiest possible missa for them. Anyway, so the Gemara asks, okay, now that we have Rav Nachman's drasha from V'yahavta L'Reacha Kameicha, why do we even need the Gzeira Shava? Obviously, therefore, that's a reason not only not to use hot water, that's also a reason not to burn her with bundles of branches, because that would also not be a Misa Yafa, because after all, it takes time for her to die of that. And it means that her body is burnt up as well, so it's a nivul, it's a disgrace to her to the body. So obviously, for that reason alone, we know that you can't do that. So why do we even need the gzeira shava from Bnei Aaron? So the answer is Amri. They answer like this. Ilav Gzeirah Shavah. If it hadn't been for the Gzeirah Shavah, Hava Amina, you would have thought like this. Sreifas Neshama V'guf Kayam Lav Sreifahi. To do like that, to burn the inside of the body, and the outside stays intact, without the Gzeirah Shavah, you would have figured that doesn't even count as Sreifa in the first place. So in other words, Rav Nachman is telling us, Bro Le Misa Yafa. But obviously that means within the guidelines that the Torah is telling you for a particular kind of Misa, it has to be Misa Yafa. You obviously can't do something completely different and say, yeah, but I'm doing Misa Yafa. So over here, we need the Gzeirah Shavah in the first place to tell us even that lead, that lead being poured down the throat would even be considered sreifa. So v'i mishum de Rav Nachman, what are we going to do with Rav Nachman's ve'arafa l'reach kamaycha? You would say, okay, you still have to burn her with branches, with bundles of wood, but nebush l'chaveis chabileis modus tuva, what we'll do is, in order to avoid the ve'arafa l'reach kamaycha issue, we'll just make sure that we use a very large number of bundles of branches and wood. That way the fire will be big, and that way she'll die fairly fast. So therefore, Kamash Malan. So therefore, the Gzeirah Shavah therefore tells us that no, that Sreifas Neshama v'Guf Kayam is considered a valid method of Sreifa. So now, once we establish that that's a valid method of Sreifa, now we can say that Rav Nachman tells us, that Rav Nachman's din from the Ahav of Rech HaKamecha tells us that we don't burn her with branches and we don't burn her with boiling water. There's a bit of discussion among the Achronim about the ins and outs of this. The Maharshal says that it kind of comes out then, for the Maharshal says, that just with the Gzeirah Shavah alone, as the Gemara is saying, we still would have said, you have two choices. So in other words, the Gzeirah Shavah would tell us, without the Gzeirah Shavah, you would have said there's only one thing that's considered Sreifa, namely burning her at the stake. Then the Gzeirah Shavah comes and adds, you should know there's another one, which is hot lead. Now, given only the Gzeirah Shavah, you would have said, okay, you have a choice. You could do one or you could do the other. So therefore, Rav Nachman would be coming to tell us that no, bro le misa yafa means you have to use the most misa yafa possible, which would be the hot lead. So in other words, it comes out that all we're excluding Marshall says that no, actually all we do is the Gzeirah Shavah alone is enough to tell us that you don't use Chavilei Zmodus, that you don't burn her at the stake. From that already we know that we need something poured down the throat. Now, we have the choice is then, in that case, hot lead or hot water, and we say, therefore, that hot lead is more of a Misa Yafa, and therefore you use that. That's how Marshal learns the last answer in the Gemara. Marshal explains a little bit differently that once we have the Gzeirah Shavah, it's true we could have used Chavilei's modus, we could use bundles of branches, but we're saying that Bro Le Misa Yafa takes out branches altogether. Even if you have a lot of them, it's still not the most Misa Yafa, and therefore you're left with only hot lead. Agoy Zabach over here also says something a little bit similar. Usually, you know, Agoy Zabach just has short notes correcting, replacing a word here or a word there in the Gemara or Rashi or Tosfos. Here he has a bit of an explanation that when Rashi says that based on Rav Nachman, we exclude branches and we exclude hot water, what he really means is, he says, similar to the Maharshal, that what it means is Rav Nachman together with the Gzeirah Shavah accomplishes that. That we end up saying no branches because of the Gzeirah Shavah, because the Gzeirah Shavah teaches us you dafka have to have Sreifas Neshama v'Guf Kayim, and then Rav Nachman's thing tells us that you don't use boiling water. So similar to the way the Maharshal says. Anyway, the bottom line is that, yes, usually, so we could say that the word H in and of itself means only fire, but because it says over here, tisarif, is an extra ribui, therefore it means that it can be that it can be, and in fact it has to be, as we said, because of the Gzeirah Shavah and because of Rav Nachman, that it has to be hot lead, which was heated up by the fire. So ve'ela ba'esh lomali, so in that case, why did the Torah have to say the word ba'esh altogether? It could have just said tisarif. The answer is La Puki Avro Meikroi. It comes to exclude when it comes to exclude lead that was mined from the ground. Meaning, Rashi describes, sometimes you can have your mine lead from the ground, and it's very hot. Conceivably, if it hadn't been for the word ba'esh, you could say you could use that kind of lead to execute the baskoyin. And therefore, note, the pasuk is telling us the word ba'esh means that it has to be something that was heated by fire. Now, what does that mean, by the way, that lead is mined and it's boiling hot? So actually, there was an interesting thing. There was an interesting thing on the Sfarim blog a couple of days ago by one of the editors of the new Steinsaltz Gemara, the new Koran Gemara, where they said they did some research into this. They think maybe what it means is that we're not talking about that it comes out from the ground naturally hot enough to kill. I mean, maybe in theory it could if you have, like, let's say if lead mine is like directly over a hot vent in the ground or something, like the kind of place where we'd have a hot spring or something, but they say it doesn't have to mean that. Maybe it just means that when lead comes out of the ground, it comes out with various impurities, and therefore, if you heat up such lead, it won't become hot enough for it to be considered a misa with esh. It's a chap. I don't know whether it really fits in the words of the Gemara over here. Anyway, that's the bottom line, therefore, is the word ba'esh teaches us it has to be something that's heated up by fire. The word tisaref teaches us that it doesn't dafka have to be fire itself. It can be something else that's heated up by fire. Then, in turn, we say the Shava teaches us that Srefa of the inside of the body is considered a valid method of Srefa, and we have to Lorech HaKamaychor of Nachman's Din tells us that that's the only way you can do it. So that's the bottom line, is that's how you do it with hot lead. Tosfos actually points out an interesting point that why don't we say in that case we have Ba'esh is a prat and Tisarif is a klal, and then it would mean anything. And the answer is because this is one of those cases we say in morning davening, we say in the Braisa of Rabbi Shmuel, Miklal shu tzorich leprat or miprat shu tzorich leklal. Sometimes we have a klal or prat or a prat or klal, but sometimes we have where you can't even understand the klal without the prat or vice versa. This is an example of that. If it's Bo'esh Tisarif, so the word Tisarif is not a klal, it's a klal that wouldn't even be understood without the prat. So therefore we're not marva anything else from it. Okay. Getting back to the Gemara, Amalei Rabbi Yirmi Rabbi Zera, V'chol Heicha Dichtiv Bo'esh Tisarif L'Rabbis Kol Sreifas HaBo'es Machmas Eshu. So now, what are you telling me? When it says in the Pasuk, Bo'esh Tisarif, then we're saying the word Bo'esh means it has to be something that was heated by fire, and Tisarif means any kind of burning then from something that came from fire. And therefore we say, by the Baskoy, and you can use hot lead. Is that in fact the case? V'hogavit porim anisrafim. What about you have the porim anisrafim? You have the power of the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur. You have the power helam davar shel tzibur. So those have to be burnt outside the machna. Dichtibu v'saraf oisail etzim ba'ish. The pasuk says he should burn it on top of wood with fire. V'tanya, and we learn in a brisa that when the pasuk says ba'esh means v'loy b'sidrei seach, means you can't use hot lime, you can't pour hot lime on it and have it burn and then dissolve that way. V'loy b'gifsisrei seach, and not with hot gypsum. Same idea. So you see over there that the word ba'esh means dafka with fire. So why by the baskoyin do we not say that? Amalei, so he says, Hochi Hashta. How do you think, and so Reb Zera answers Reb Yemiya, how do you think to compare them? Hosem ksir bo'esh v'hoder tisorif. By the Baskoyan, first it says bo'esh, then it says tisorif, she should be burned. And we said, tisorif l'rabbis kol shreifas abois machmas ha'esh. That it comes to include other kinds of burnings that come from heat of fire, even if it's not directly with the fire. Here, with the parim and israfim, it's the other way around. It says you should burn them on wood with fire, meaning levasoif esh. The fire is at the end of the phrase. Lememra de esh in midachrin eloi. So it comes to teach us that no, since it says just the opposite, since it says vasoraf, you could think it means any kind of burning, and then it says esh, so therefore it means dafka esh and nothing else. So the question is, Hasam Nami Ksiva Sreifa Lavasaif. What do you mean, though? In that pasuk, it does mention burning after the word Eish as well. Dichtiv, because the pasuk finishes off, Al Shefa Chadeshin Yisorif. It should be burnt on the place where you pour out the ashes of the Mizbeach. So it says Eish, and then it says later on Yisorif. So Amri, so they answered, Hahu Yisarif min Ba'ilu L'chidatanya. That word Yisarif, we're not using to teach us about this concept of what you can burn the part of an Yisrafim with. We learn a different din from it. L'chidatanya, Yisarif, Afa Pishen Shem Deshen. The word Yisarif means a riboy, even if there's no ashes right there, right now. Now the Torah is telling you, you have to burn the part of an Yisrafim, Al Shefach HaDeshen, in the place where the ashes of the Mizbeach are pouring out. What if there don't happen to be any ashes over there? Would we say the Torah is makbid, that it has to be in the place where there's deshen? No, the word yisarif is a ribui and teaches us that even if there don't happen to be ashes there right now, you still have to burn it. And yisarif, af b'shehitzis ha'ur b'rubui, and the word yisarif also teaches us that even once the fire caught on to most of the body of the animal, you still have to be working on burning it until the whole thing is burnt up. So we learn that from those words, Yisarif. We're not learning from it that you can use other kinds of heat of heat sources other than direct fire. Okay. So now, we got into this whole discussion by way of a braisa that mentioned different cases where a person got burnt by different hot things. So we said the definition of mikvah, as far as Tanas, is not only when he got burnt by fire directly, because the Torah tells us twice mikvah, then therefore it also includes coals and hot ashes and so forth. Now we ask the question, now we started with the question, and in that case, that means that only when you have a ribui like that, do we say that coals are fire. What about when it comes to the Korban Pesach, where you don't have such a ribui, it just says tliyesh, so why are we saying that coals are fire? So that led us into this whole discussion, that we're talking about, so we said the distinction between coals made out of wood and coals made out of metal. Coals made out of wood automatically are considered fire, coals made out of metal are not. Ravina Omar, Ravina says, what you can do is you can edit the word of the Braisa, you can edit the wording of the Braisa and change it a little bit, take the word Gachelas from the list in the Braisa and add it to the first part. So you learn the Braisa like this, rather. Michvas Esh, when the Pasuk says that the person was burnt by fire, so that would teach you only if he was burnt with fire or with a coal. So put the word coal right there into the beginning of the braisa. Nichva beremetz, what about if he was burnt with hot ashes? Besidrei seach, or with hot lime, or with gifsis seach, or hot gypsum, or with chol dabra abba machmasa'ur, or anything else that was heated up by fire, which again the Gemara interjects the Isuya Chamehur, that comes to include also if he was scalded by boiling water, Minayin. How do we know that in all those cases also the place where he got burnt is considered a mikvah? Tamad Lema, mikvah riba. So then because the word mikvah teaches us any kind of burn. So the point is, Ravina is saying, what you do is take the gachelas, take the coal from the list in the braisa and add it to the first word, to the first line in the braisa where it mentions fire, and then you have that we're saying it's a given that fire and a coal are considered mikvah. The other ones were being marbed from mikvah. So therefore, you have no question. Coals are considered fire all by themselves without even a ribui. Now, in that case, it comes out, according to Ravina's answer, that there's no difference between coals of wood and coals of metal, which would mean, in other words, if we learn it that way, that it would mean, according to Ravina, when we said before that Rebbe is saying that you're allowed to put the Korban Pesach directly on the coals and roast them, then it would come out that means even glowing metal, that is one of the Sfas Emes' proofs for what we said before of his din, that as long as the fire is directly below the metal, then even if the Korban Pesach touches the metal, then there's no problem, because that's what we'd be able to hear. You'd have glowing metal, You'd have pieces of metal or metal wires or whatever, which are glowing hot, and you put the Korban Pesach on them, and nevertheless, it would still be kosher. It's also negeah, by the way, this question, whether a gachelas shel matches is considered the same as a gachelas shel eitz, is negeah as far as other areas in halacha, one place where it's negeah as far as Hilchos Shabbos. Usually we say, we learned in Masech the Shabbos, that to put out a wood coal on Shabbos would be an Isur D'Oraisa of Mechaba. To put out a metal coal is only an Isur D'Rabbanan, and therefore we said there are certain cases where you have where the Rabbim can pass by and get injured by it, then you have more of a heter to do something with a metal coal. But according to Ravina, it would come out, maybe not. According to him, wood coals and metal coals are exactly the same thing. And it also means, for example, one of the things we talk about, why are you not allowed? Why are you not allowed to put out a to put out a light, to put out an electric bulb on Shabbos? One reason is because the filament in it is like a glow, is a glowing piece of metal, and therefore when you put it out, then you're doing mechaba. So again, according to everybody else, it would mean that's only d'rabbanon, but according to Ravina over here, that might mean it's actually d'oraisa to do that. Okay. Onward. Rava Rami. Rava pointed out a contradiction between what we said before, mi amar Rebbe gecholim ikureish. Here's another contradiction. Did Rebbe really say that coals are considered fire and therefore you can roast the Korban Pesach sitting directly on top of the coals? Or a mini? But I have a contradiction. The Torah tells us that the Kohen Gadol has to take a pan full of ashes, not ashes, sorry, of coals, into the Kodesh HaKadoshim on Yom Kippur, and then and a spoonful of Ketores, and then he spreads out the Ketores on the coals, and it burns in there. So the Pasuk says that he has to take Gachlei Esh. So when the Pasuk says Gachlei, the Braisa says Yochol Oimimos, you would think that maybe it's good enough if he takes dim coals, or maybe Dafke, he has to take them. Talmud Lema, Esh. No, therefore the Torah says that it has to be Esh. So it means that it has to be, it has to be actual fire. E, Esh, Yochol Shal Heves. On the other hand, if it only said the word Esh, you would think it means he has to bring in an actual flame, not just a coal. Talmud Lema, Gachlei. But no, because the Pasuk says coals. Ha Ketzad. So how do you reconcile it? Maybe Min Aloichos. He has to bring glowing coals. Leuchters, by the way, literally means whispering, because when coals are burning very brightly, they make like a crackling noise that sounds a little bit like whispering. The next line over here, Alma Gecholim Leikri Esh Amri, the Maharam takes it out. Doesn't belong in the Gemara over here, which is why it's in parenthesis. So you see, in other words, that the word Esh, we see in this braisa, means davka, an actual flame. Because that's what we're saying. We're saying that if it didn't say the word esh, then you could bring any kind of coals, even dim ones. So how can Rebbe say that you can put the Korban Pesach on the coals and it's called tzvi esh? So the Gemara says, well, if you're bringing this braisa, then we have to ask. Anyway, v'hol gufa kasha, you seem to have a contradiction within the braisa itself. Once we understand that, then we'll understand how it doesn't have. Once we understand that, then we'll understand how that doesn't contradict Rebbe. So v'hog gufa kasha. So you have a stira within the braisa itself. Amrit gachle yochel oimimos. First, you're saying gachle could include even dim coals. Alma loiches esh ninu. Now, evidently, then that part of the braisa is assuming that glowing coals are considered fire. Ema sefer. But then the next part of the braisa continues e esh yochel shall have us. That the word esh, on the other hand, would mean an actual flame. Talmud lema gachle, and therefore it says coals, and therefore we say it means brightly burning coals. Alma. So you see from that, from the second half of the braisa, afilu loichshes lav esh ninu. Even burning coals, even brightly burning coals, are not considered esh all by themselves. They can be called gachle esh, but they can't be called actual esh. So within the braisa itself, what is it assuming? Are we saying that brightly burning coals are considered esh or aren't considered esh? So first, let's understand that. Then we'll understand how we fit it with what Rebbe was saying. So the Omer of Sheshes, that of Sheshes says, Hochi Katani, what the braisa means is as follows. Gachle yochol ben oimimos ben loichshes. When the braisa begins by mentioning gachle esh, when the pasuk starts by mentioning the word gachle yochol ben oimimos ben loichshes, you would think that would work whether these coals are dim or whether they're bright. Either way, it's valid. Note, Talmud Lomer Esh, therefore the Pasuk says Esh, but then E Esh Yochol Shal Heves, maybe with the word Esh alone, it would mean that you can't bring coals at all. You have to dafka have an actual fire. Note, Talmud Lomer Gachle, but since the Pasuk says coals, then it means that you have to have coals of some kind. So now, Ha Ketzad, So now, Hawketzad, maybe, Menaloshkis, so how do you do it? Then you bring brightly burning coals. So in other words, Rav Sheshes is saying, the first part of the Braisa wasn't saying that brightly burning coals are not, that brightly burning coals are not considered gachle. We're saying they could be gachle, and dim ones could also be gachle. When it says Aish, then ultimately what that means is you have to have dafka brightly burning coals. So, Mekomakam Gecholim LaIkri Aish, the bottom line is, still, how does that help us? The fact is, we're still left with that according to that, coals by themselves are not considered fire. Now, by the Korban Pesach, it doesn't say coals, it just said Sli Aish. So, therefore, we still have Kasha LaRebbe. So, therefore, we still have the question on Rebbe, that the word Aish by itself would mean an actual flame. Only when we have the word Gachle with it can it mean coals. So fine, by Yom Kippur, then that's what it means. But by the Korban Pesach, it doesn't say the word Gachle. So how is Rebbe understanding it? So Amar Abaya, Amar Abaya treats Hochi. We can answer the Braisa. We had Rav Sheshes' explanation of the Braisa. Abaya is saying we can give a different explanation of the Braisa. We can correct the Braisa to make it say as follows. Gachla yochol omus v'loy loshes. When we start by saying gachla, you would think that it means it dafka has to be dim coals and not brightly burning coals. So not like Rav Sheshes, who had said that it could mean either one. We would start by assuming that Gachle means only dim ones. Talmud Loimar Eish, and therefore the Pasuk tells us Eish means that it has to daft to be fire. But then E-Eish, but then if, once it says Eish, Yochol Rotza Shalheves Yavi, Rotza Gacheles Yavi, maybe the Torah is giving you a choice. It means, maybe the Torah is giving you a choice once it says the word Eish. Then it could mean you could bring an actual flame, or if you want, you could bring coals. So therefore, Talmud Lema Gachle, okay, said maybe Min Aloshes. So once now we have together the word Gachle Eish, then it means that Dafka has to be the brightly burning coals. So yes, the word Eish by itself could mean coals. We still have that Eish could include coals, but the word Gachle is not telling us to include coals. We know that already from the word Eish. The word Gachle is telling us that Dafka has to be coals. However, Omar Rabba, but Rabba, or on the side over here, it says Rava, it's supposed to be, says on that. What are you talking about? Rotza gachelas yavi, rotza shalheves yavi. So what are you telling me? That the Braisa is telling us that there would have been, if it hadn't been for the word gachle, if it just said eish, you would have thought you could bring coals, or you could bring an actual flame by itself. What do you mean? Yavi, shalheves, la gachelas, hechemesh gachasla. How would you anyway be able to bring a flame without a coal that it's attached to? The only way would be to shafya the mona mishka, would be if you smeared a keli with oil, the itli benura, and then you lit it on fire, and the oil on the surface of the keli is burning. But you can't say that. There's not even a half a minute to say that you could do that. Lomalei krol lamorti. Why would you even need a pasuk to tell you not to do that? Hashka lifnei melach vastav adam enos and kain. You wouldn't even do such a thing in front of a king. If a king needs fire brought before him, it would be disrespectful to do like that. That you're carrying a keli with oil on the outside of it, which is burning. You know how you have, for example, by chasinus, sometimes you have for people to be mesameach chasin v'kala, they put oil or paraffin or whatever on the outside of their hat, and they light it on fire. But it wouldn't be derech eretz to do that in front of a king. So lifnei melach ma'achah and lachem ha'kadosh baruch hu kol shekein, how much more so you wouldn't do that in front of the Eibishter. So there's not even a haba minute to say that you could bring a flame without a coal. So why would the Braisa be telling us then, according to your explanation, according to Abaya's explanation, why would you even need a pasuk to tell us that you can't do that? Ela Omar Rava treats Hachi. So rather, Rava says, here's how you can try and for the Braisa. When the pasuk starts gachle, it says coals yochol omemos v'loy loshes. Again, maybe that means only dim coals, not bright coals. Like this part is like Abaye said. Talmud loymer eish. Therefore, it says eish. But now eish. Now the problem that Rava or Rava had with Abaye's explanation is that at this point in the Braisa, was saying that maybe the word Esh means that you could bring fire by itself, and Rava or Rabba is saying that's no good, that would be disrespectful to Hashem. So no, now we're going to say different. E-Esh, if it only said the word Esh, Yochol Yavi Mechze Gachelos or Mechze Shalheves, maybe what it means is you could bring a pan which is half full of coals and half fire. So in other words, you have, let's say, so you took, for example, Rashi describes, you take, let's say, a piece of wood, a burning piece of wood from the Mizbeach, half of it is on fire, the other half of it is not yet. By the time you walk from the Mizbeach HaChitzen, ad Ayel Gabai, by the time he gets into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, have it Kula Gachelis, then it'll all be cool. So now, So now like this, to bring it into the Kodesh HaKadoshim and it's still going to finish burning over there, fine. That's also not respectful, Lifnei Melech Basav Adam, because it makes a lot of smoke. But to have that you're carrying it from the Mizbeach to the Kodesh HaKadoshim, and meanwhile the rest of it catches on fire and emits all the smoke that it's going to, and then you're going to go into the Kodesh HaKadoshim with it already on fire, maybe that would have been valid. So therefore, Talmud Lema, v'lokach molayah machta gachle esh me'alam mizbeach. We're not just focusing on the two words gachle esh. We have to look at the whole half of the pasuk. He should take a panful of gachle esh from on top of the mizbeach, meaning mashas lekicha habigecholim, meaning that it has to be from when he takes it. It's already coals. So therefore, it's not really that we're excluding, so Rava is explaining, in other words, it's not really that we're saying at any point in this argument that coals shouldn't be considered fire. Coals are definitely fire. And therefore, that explains Rebbe's opinion that you can roast the Korban Pesach sitting directly on top of the coals. All we're saying is the word gachle by itself could have meant dim coals. The word eish could have meant that maybe you have, that it's actually stuff that you bring, that you carry from the Mizbeach, something which is actually on fire, something which is actually burning with a flame, and by the time you reach the Kodesh HaKadoshim, it's all become coals. So no, since the Pasuk doesn't just say gachle eish, it says v'lokach me'alam Mizbeach gachle eish, then it means that he has to actually, when he takes it off the Mizbeach, it already has to be gachle eish. Okay, so that's that. So therefore, there's no contradiction from that to Rebbe's din, because in the case of the Korban Pesach, it says Eish. The word Eish does include coals. All it is in this case, we need a ribui from the pasuk to be telling us that you can't bring in something which is on fire, take something from the Mizbeach, which is on fire, and by the time you bring it into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, it finished burning, and now it's all coals. Okay, Tosfos points out on Amud Aleph, actually, that when we first asked the question on Rebbe about whether coals are considered fire, why didn't we make the same distinction over here? That we could have said Rebbe is talking about glowing coals, and in the case when we had, for example, with the Michvas Eish, with Saras, it could have meant a dim coal. So Tosfos says, because in the Pasuk, the word Gachelas could include any kind, whether they're burning brightly or whether they're dim, but in a Braisa, we would assume that coals means bright coals unless otherwise specified. You have a concept the Gemara mentions in some places, Loshen Torah Lachud, the Loshen Chachamim Lachud, that the Tanakh versus the Chachamim have different ways of using the language. So in Chumash, the word Gecholim could mean any kind, but in Mishnah and Gemara and Braisa and Gemara terminology, Gecholim is going to be bright coals unless otherwise specified. So one last thing the Gemara asks, Iboilahu, we had this in Eruvin as well, Iboilahu, oimemois, oimemois. This word that we've been discussing about Gecholim oimemois, actually not, yeah, we had in Brochus as well. When we said that we said dim coals, we have a word over here, oimemois. So is it oimemois with an aleph or oimemois with an ayin? I can prove to you from a pasuk. The pasuk says, "Arozim loy amamuhu began alekim." Other cedar trees did not dim him in the garden of Hashem. And Rashi says this pasuk is about Chiram Melech Tzur. There's a different pasuk that uses the same shurdish about Chiram, but the pasuk that the Gemara is quoting over here is actually about Ashur. You have a nevuah that Yechezkel is saying, describing how Ashur was once such a mighty empire and now how they fell. So he gives a mashal like they were a very, very strong, tall cedar tree so tall, so much taller than the other trees, meaning so much more powerful than the other empires, that none of them could dim it. In other words, like none of them are shadowing it. Began Alakim in the Garden of Hashem, meaning in the entire world. So we see that the word Amamuhu over there means to dim. So therefore, Gecholim Oimamos is the same Shodesh. Dim calls, therefore it means it's with an ayin. You have in many places in Chassidus, it talks about the idea when we say Ein Melech Beloy Am, that the word Am is related to the same word Oimamos. So it means even though the people are dim, and even though the people are very low down compared to the king, let alone to the Eibishter, but even to a human king, nevertheless, he can't be a king without having those Oimamos, without having that Am who accept him as their king, and that's what makes him the Melech.